James O'Brien on LBC.
11:52, is he turning it into the Gold House, asks Paul, which is, I mean, not with beyond the realms of possibility, is it? But let's start with the building, shall we, Simon Marks?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I have to say, it takes quite a lot now to surprise me and shock me. But I was heading home last night and I saw the first White House pool report, which in this wonderfully calm language informed us that part of the East Wing of the White House is being torn down today. Some reporters have spotted the construction from a park near the Treasury Department this afternoon. And I thought, that cannot possibly be right. You don't just go and tear down part of the East Wing of the White House. And then these pictures started emerging of the wrecking crew having been brought in without any warning by the President of the United States, without any permission, without any planning process that is completed, and there should be one because the National Capital Planning Commission almost certainly has to weigh in. It's a national historic landmark. And to kind of put this into context, my office, James, as you know, is right on the other side of the street from the White House. I recently thought, well, there's one room in there. I'd like to move a wall by about 4 feet. I'd like to slightly expand one of the offices. I would spend the rest of my life trying to secure a permit from DC to carry out that minimal amount of work. He has just completely laid waste to part of the East Wing, you know, the wing that since 1902 has been the preserve of first ladies. Of course, Melania doesn't use it because she's never in the White House. And this is all part of the process of building the ballroom that he said was not going to require any of the White House to be torn down. Indeed, his own press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, said earlier this year, nothing is going to be torn down. And they've just sent the wrecking crew in. And the White House says this is all pearl clutching. Every president gets the chance to modernize the building. You know, Richard Nixon put a bowling alley in. The White House press room is built above FDR's old swimming pool. But nobody does this stuff without permission. And this is deliberate. This is designed once again to say to the American public and the world, I can do whatever I want. There are no guardrails that I'm going to honour or observe that are going to stop me.
So, I mean, he may well want a ballroom, or he may just be demonstrating, as you say, that he is beholden to no rule, regulation, tradition, convention, or requirement.
Well, I think it's both. He wants the ballroom, and he constantly falsely claims that presidents for decades have wondered why the White House doesn't have a 90,000 square foot ballroom. This notion was never mooted before
he arrived. He's trying to turn it into Mar-a-Lago.
And that's exactly what he's doing. Right. So, and this ballroom, by the way, $250 million project, is being financed by donors whose identities we do not know, what kind of payback they're getting for their generosity we do not know, and these are many of the same donors who have already paid for the paving of the White House Rose Garden, which he has turned into what he's referring to as the Rose Garden Club, you know, Jackie Kennedy's old famous Rose Garden, paved over. They brought the umbrellas up from Mar-a-Lago, he pipes music in off playlists that he controls in the Oval Office.
So vulgar.
Today, he's hosting a lunch in the Rose Garden Club and then a dinner in the Rose Garden Club. And
you've got to
wonder who all these people are. I mean, the lunch is for Republican lawmakers, so we know who's attending that. We don't know who's yet attending the dinner tonight.
We know how much he charges at Mar-a-Lago.
Exactly.
So this conflation of a couple of noughts.
Public good and personal money is now complete.
You mentioned Caroline Leavitt, and I don't need you to comment on this. I just need you to confirm that it's true, because a lot of my listeners won't believe that it is. Asked recently who decided upon Budapest as the location for the imminent meeting between Trump and Vladimir Putin. The White House communications director replied to journalists, "Your mom did."
Yes, well, she did say that. I mean, there have been more egregious examples of that when Rand Paul, the Libertarian Republican senator from Kentucky, started raising questions about whether the Trump administration had any legal justification for blowing alleged speedboats of Venezuelan drug traffickers out of the waters of the Caribbean. He raised questions about it on social media, to which J.D. Vance responded with a word I cannot use on family radio and said, I don't give a what you think of it.
So they're
unconstrained.
I think one of the Colombian people killed, almost certainly found to be an entirely blameless fisherman.
Outrage.
We're going to run out of time. To the video, this extraordinary AI-created video of Donald Trump in a aeroplane with a crown on his head, dropping, well, you tell.
Donald Trump in an aeroplane called, the plane emblazoned with the name King Trump, an AI-created video that he posted over the weekend on social media, in which he takes to the skies with the theme tune of Top Gun played over the video, and he drops payloads of human excrement on protesters below.
How many protesters were there?
In the video?
No, in the...
Oh, 7 million.
How many?
7 million. According to the organisers. I mean, we're never going to know the official number.
Sure.
But the organisers say up to 7 million. It was certainly
American voters, American citizens, American...
2,600 protests worldwide, the largest mobilisation we've seen yet against the Trump presidency. The White House official statement on that, who cares?
And finally, I was reading this morning, in fact, about a key Trump appointment or a new Trump appointment who appears to have been boasting online about his Nazi sympathies.
Yes, this is a man called Paul Ingrassia, who has been selected by President Trump to head the Office of the Special Counsel, which in the past has been an independent anti-corruption agency, although clearly Donald Trump wants him to be there in order to pursue retribution against his enemies, like John Bolton, we've already seen, and James Comey, the former head of the FBI. It's been revealed by Politico that Mr. Ingrassia used a text chat to tell fellow Republicans that he has a Nazi streak in him from time to time. I will admit to it, he says. He also believes that the national holiday every year celebrating the life of Martin Luther King should be tossed into the seventh circle of hell where it belongs. Three Republican senators so far have indicated that they are not going to vote in favour of his confirmation. His hearing is supposed to happen on Thursday.
Backbone.
So the leaders of the Republicans, small amount, couple of vertebrae, but the leader of the Republicans in the Senate is asking Trump to withdraw the nomination. Let's see what happens after that lunch in the Rose Garden Club today. Maybe he will finally concede that he's made a mistake, or maybe he'll double down and see if he can get enough votes to have J.D. Vance break the tiebreaker.
How many does he need? How many people need to object?
He's lost three already, so he would now be in a position where J.D. Vance would have to cast the tiebreaker. He can't afford to lose more than that.
So one more and it's game over. In the meantime, and if Vance casts the tiebreaker, you have someone appointed to this position who is quite open about their Nazi sympathies.
At a time when, you know, group chats of young Republicans also show that they have been very open about their admiration for Hitler, for the gas chambers, their hostility to LGBTQ Americans. You know, young Republicans should not, said J.D. Vance, be penalised for engaging in youthful activities, but many of these people were above the age of 30.
Yes. I'll tell you what, though. At least he's never moved a bust of Winston Churchill into a different room. Eh?
Well, he's brought it back.
Say, well, there you go. So technically, I suppose he has. It's 12 noon.